Hey, welcome to The Conversation. You're listening to Andy Mason, and this is Authentic Conversations around Family, Faith, and Business. And today we're going to talk about the pursuit of unhappiness. I don't know about you, but there's a part of me that is never satisfied. I could call it in different environments the pursuit of more. In a Christian religious environment, I'm hungry for more. I'm never satisfied. I'm desperate for more of God. I'd get away with that and be encouraged in that environment. In the business setting, working for a bank for years, every year the targets increase, never satisfied. We can never do enough, accomplish enough. And then in our own business with our own income, it's just like, can we ever get to where we want to get to? So I'm going to unpack that. I'm going to talk about some of the books that I'm reading that's feeding into that and what's helping. And then I'm going to walk through how you really get to the point of being satisfied or ultimately happy. Is that something we can do? Is something that we can't? So to start off with, I want to refer to a book that I'm reading that is really not turning my life upside down, but is so helping me right now. Now, I don't just ascribe to everything that it says, but it is so, so good. And it's a book by John Mark Comus called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And I have become very, very aware that there is so much in my life that is me. I realize even through this book that there's the two gods of the West, the two gods of developed, in speech marked countries, is accomplishment and accumulation. And here's the point: you can never have enough. There is something on the inside of us that was born with eternity in mind. There is a gaping hole that until that is finished or filled with a relationship with Jesus, you will never be satisfied. If you take a step back, it's like literally any environment, it's always one more dollar. If I only have one more dollar per hour, if I only have X more dollars per year, if I only have this one client, if I only have so many more likes on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is now, if I only could meet that person, if I could only get given this toy or own that product or go to this place, it's always something more. If you could only have this many relationships with this many people or whatever that may be, visit this place, go do this thing, get given that, experience this, it's never enough. You'll never get satisfied. And it's because there's a piece of you that is designed with eternity in mind, which means that nothing temporary or temporal will fully satisfy you. This was written thousands of years ago in an ancient book called Ecclesiastes. It says it's all like chasing the wind. The richest man on the planet was Solomon. And he wrote this. He had over 600 wives. So never enough sex. Never enough relationships. He had more money. They said that gold was so plentiful, they piled up silver in the streets. But that was still not enough. He had all the toys, all the chariots, all of the ships, everything he could have, the most beautiful palace. And he had absolute wisdom. But it was still not enough. It was like chasing the wind. What's the point? Without Christ at your center, you will never be satisfied. He is the only one that brings contentment regardless of where we are at. So what about me? I've become aware that, oh my gosh, I'm the same. There's a part of me, I'd like to think that I'm not addicted to accumulation, but I am certainly or have certainly been addicted to accomplishment. I got to have a conversation with a friend of mine. His name is Philip, and he's in Alaska, and he runs a drug and alcohol treatment facility. And I had this light bulb moment in talking with him. He is very, very good at what they do in a holistic approach of taking people that have an addiction, and they bring them into an in-care facility. They go through a process where they go through detox. And then that's not the final part of the process. The final third of the process is positioning them to transition back to, no, not normal life, a new life. It's a new way of living without their dependency, of dealing with what's behind that. What's the point? I realized that it is exactly the same as what we've been walking through with COVID-19 this year. We've been in a compulsory detox where the stimulation, where the level of interaction, where everything has been reduced so that we've been faced with ourselves. And we've had the opportunity or invitation to deal with things that we've ignored. I became aware that I was addicted to accomplishment. I was running, hurry there, hurry back. I don't have the time, so walk with me, let's have a meeting on the way. Going from meeting to meeting to meeting and somehow calling that successful or feeling significant because of that. Never fully present because there's always something coming next. Always running, running, running. But at the core of that, I wasn't flustered. There was a level of peace that was great, but something was missing. It was indication I was addicted to accomplishment. It's like you, if you find yourself driving and you're changing lanes so you can get into the faster lane at the lights. If you find yourself at the checkout line, it's like you have to be in the fastest line. You change and switch to a faster line if that becomes available. You'll find yourself, how can you do this faster? How can you cut corners? How can you get more efficient and get more done? Not once, but continually, the never-ending pursuit of more. Maybe that's in a religious environment. I just need to pray more. If only I was at one more meeting. If only I was fasting more, praying more, giving more, serving more, whatever it is. But ultimately, it's never enough. It's like chasing the wind. Why? Because there's an internal condition in humanity that is empty or void without a connection with God. Yes, I can be filling the void of a connection with God with religion, with my Bethel music album, with my event or church service, and actually miss the person that I am called to connect with, which is Christ himself. And until I make that a priority and build that one-on-one connection and communion with him, then nothing else satisfies. And the flip side is also true, that when I get this gift of a detox period and I go through 60 days shelter at home and I start to detox from my life of hurry and accomplishment and addiction to more, and I slow down and I become still and I get to know God, then nothing else really matters. It changes my perspective so that I can go back into a life no longer rushing, but slowing down and realizing, how could I fully give myself to what I'm called to, not just what others want me to do? How can I fully give myself to what I was born to do, rather than just doing stuff day after day after day and not questioning why? Why am I doing this? What was I truly created for? So what I'm finding is that there's two responses to this. Firstly, the foundational truth is you are eternal. Nothing temporary will satisfy or fill your longing. Happiness is an elusive thing that until you learn to be happy or content in the now, in the middle of the gap between the promise and the fulfillment, in the gap between COVID happening and COVID going, until I learn to be satisfied and find a sense of fulfillment and happy in the gap, in the mess, then I'll be left empty and devoid of the fullness of life. And what I see is two reactions. One, the pursuit of self-actualization, where people are just running, 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 trying to fill their life with the next course, the next coach, the next conference, the next whatever it is, to try and make themselves better. if I could just realize my potential, if I could just read the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People for the 17th time and just apply these things, never enough, people. And so here's what I would ask you is potential versus purpose. Did Jesus fulfill his potential? I look at him and I say, what was Jesus possible? What was his possibility of achieving in the earth? And that's a no-brainer. He had all of what he wanted. Actually, he had all the power. He had all of the crowd. He could turn any situation because of his wisdom or questioning. And yet, when revival meetings broke out, and he had the best revival meetings the planet had ever known, they went looking for him and said, hey, Jesus, where are you? The crowd's turned up. We're ready to go. And he's gone. He said, no, I talked with my father this morning and I'm supposed to go somewhere else. What's the point? Jesus could have been a one-person walking global revival, but he didn't. He did not fulfill the potential that he could have done, but he did fulfill his purpose. He was called to a group of people for a certain time to fulfill a set of promises written about him, to end up dying on a cross, the antithesis of fulfilling potential, but the fullness of fulfilling his purpose so that we could step into ours. What's the point? Self-actualization and being all that you have potentially possible, it's empty, it's void, it's never enough until you know truly what you were born for, that you could get up in the morning and say, I was born for this. But it's not just to accomplish something. It was born to have relationship with Jesus, and everything flows from that. If I'm going to get my significance, my satisfaction, my security from anything external, anything other than my connection and my identity as a child of God, then I'll find myself grasping the wind, burned out, depressed, medicating myself on more church, more religious activity, more service, more alcohol or substance abuse, whatever it may be. People, I think we've got the greatest invitation right now to reset and have a look at our lives and say, I'm in a drug addiction treatment period. Will I maximize this, and will I go to the next stage of reintegrating a new life with a new set of principles and paradigms to live by that will set me up to succeed? So the first one is how people react is they try and pursue self-actualization, be the best version of myself, fulfill my potential. And I'm saying, no, people, you can never do that. You can never fully satisfy that drive. It's not about potential. It's about your purpose. It's about who God made you to be. And when you become that, you find everything else fulfills you. The second level is I find people that they kind of react a bit to that. So they'll become, it's like I'm serving all versus serving greatly. Here's what I mean by that is, and this is where I've caught myself, is that I am terrified of reducing my options to go after what I know I was born to do. So I hide in the masses and serve the masses. I serve all so that I don't have to take the risk and believe in myself and fully go after what I believe God has called me to do. What does that look like? That looks like writing a book for the masses and being okay with that. It looks like running a course and giving it away for free. It looks like hiding behind promoting others and saying, I'm just serving others, I'm serving this, I'm serving them. But ultimately, you know on the inside, actually, you're avoiding going after what you know you're born for because you're scared. Because you know when you limit your options, you're reducing all of the things that are distracting you. And yes, it feels good to help lots of people, but there's some key people that until you let go of the all and focus on the one, the two, the 12, you will miss the core reason why you exist. And I think right now, some of the gifts that we've got in my business. Maybe it's in whatever it is that you do. Maybe it's in your social media feeds that aren't getting the attention that you thought they should. Maybe it's the launch that you did that's not getting the uptake that you thought. Perhaps that's the kiss of God for you to cause you to stop and have a look at what you're doing. And perhaps you've got the ship of your life aimed the wrong way, and you need to pivot and say, what was I born for? What if I gave myself fully to that? For me personally, there's been so many components. Learning to be me. I was given a quote recently by Ray Edwards, and he told me, I can't remember who originated the quote, but it was, every great yes must be protected by 1,000 no's. And if I'm struggling to say no, then I will give in to everybody else's yes rather than fulfilling my own. When I stand before God, He's not going to ask me, why was I not more like Bill Johnson? Or why was I not more like Steve Jobs? Or why was I not more like Bill Gates? Or why was I not more like Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King or whoever it is that you aspire to be like? He's going to ask you, Andy, why were you not more like you, who I called you to be, what I placed inside of you? Why were you not fully given over to that? And you say, well, I was serving Pastor Bill, or I was serving this person, I was serving that. It's like, that's really awesome. But you buried your talent in good soil. You hid who you truly were by calling it serving others. And that was really hiding or reducing the value of what you bring by spreading it so thin that you couldn't fully give yourself to the people that I've called you to serve. Jesus was called to a particular group of people, the Jews. When he had others come to him and say, would you at least do this with us? The story, Jesus says, I do not cast my bread to the dogs. Kind of offensive, I would have thought. Now, in that case, that person said with the wisdom, yeah, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall on the floor. And Jesus said, well, good answer. You can have your healing. But what's the point? He focused on the customers that he was called to serve, the Jews. That was his purpose. He could have been far and wide, but he had this red hot molten core lava center. This is who I'm called to serve. And he completed that work. He accomplished that work. So we get to live the life that he has died that we can live. So bring it back to me. For me, I have to work out what is my yes. What am I going to say yes to? And then protect it with 1,000 no's. I've got to let go the never-ending pursuit of never enough. Proverbs says this, never enough, never enough, never enough. It's poverty. It's indication I've got an internal world that is out of alignment, that is not in peace, that is not in rest, and as a result will hurry to accomplish or to accumulate because there's an internal condition of never enough, never satisfied, never happy. What's the invitation? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take on me my yoke, for it is easy and my burden is light. Those are the words of Jesus. What's the point? It wasn't extract yourself from life and become a monk in a monastery on the back of a desert away from life because life's too scary. It was the language of a yoke, which is a language of work, of doing your work. It's your business. It's a way of living where you are literally yoked. That was what an ox would have across their shoulders, connected to another ox who was an older ox who'd been this way before, and they would walk together up and down. Jesus is saying this. He's saying, I've got a yoke where you can yoke yourself to me, and together we will walk this together out. We'll walk this life out. I've been there. I've walked it. I know how to walk it, and I can walk it with you. if you will slow down and get rid of the hurry and pursue unhappiness, what does that mean? I have a miserable life? No, you just recenter on what is most important. Do I really need to do this? What am I really called to be, to do, to have? Yoke myself to Christ, and in the middle of my work, walk with Him in all things. For me, it's been a journey. Growing up, I used to say, I want to impact people for God like a brick and leave a mark permanently. I've learned a little bit like, yeah, that probably, Andy, that wasn't the smartest thing. It became, in helping others become successful, I'll be successful myself. True, that's good, but I've grown and had to grow more and more in identity. And more recently, these books have really shaped me where I'm at. One is my identity, and there's a couple of things that led to that. One, a book called Codependent No More, and this realization that I can't say no, because if I say no to someone, then I'm not okay if they're not okay. I'm not okay if they're not okay. That means my sense of value and happiness is tied to someone else. If they're not happy, then I can't be happy. That is called codependent. It's not healthy, and it's based on very, very low self-worth. Truth is, I'm okay if you're not okay. I'm going to help you. I'm going to serve you, but I'm not going to be miserable if you are. I am learning it's okay to be okay, even if you're not okay. I will serve you. I'll refer you. I'll advise you. I'll walk with you. But I choose who I am and how I'm going to live, and I'm not going to allow you to determine my level of happiness or lack thereof, because your life is miserable because of the choices that you're making. Codependent No More was the first one. The second one for me was Leif Hetland in his book, Healing the Orphan Spirit. Just get a hold of it. Highly recommend it. That changed my world. And the third one is Chris Vallotton wrote a book called The Supernatural Ways of Royalty. It's around identity as children of God, as saints, as princes and not paupers, as not under a spirit of poverty, but under sonship, and what that really means and how we work that out. So those were really, really critical. And then as I've started to step into this more and more, most recently I'm reading a book called The Prosperous Coach by Rich Litvin and Steve Chandler. And this is nailing me. This is so, so good, because it's talking things like, I'm not called to be your friend, I'm called to serve you. And I'm realizing how many relationships have I reduced my value in how I help them, because I'm more concerned about them liking me than I am about asking the question that needs to be asked that no one else is asking. That rather than letting the elephant ride around in the room and saying nothing, actually, you don't even just point it out, but you turn that elephant, you jump on it, you ride that baby. You say, let's go somewhere with this. Let's speak truth in love, but let's speak truth. Let's not avoid it, beat around the bush. So I've been on a journey from thinking I was going to be a missionary to international development, to consultant, to banker, to entrepreneur, to whatever it is. But the core of it all has been helping people discover purpose and empower them to live it well. And I'm on the journey right now of realizing I have hidden some of what I've got by hiding behind great connections and great people, but serving widely rather than serving greatly. I'm learning that. I'm on the process. I trust that this has been of value to you. If you want to find out more, check out andyandjanine.com. You'll see that there. We're stepping into some things where I can sit at your table with you, whether that's your board table, where an advisory board role, whether that's your project table, something you specifically want me to work with you on for either 2 hours, 2 days, whatever it may be, for a fixed period of time, whether that's your kitchen table, and that's called advisory services, walking with you, where we're literally saying there's nothing we'll hold back, all cards on the table, authentic, real, raw. I'm more committed to your dreams coming true and you succeeding than to your comfort. And then finally, the builder's table, where I get a bunch of advisory clients, we put them in the room together, and we say, how can we help one another succeed? I'm learning that this works. It's great, it's good, but I'm having to say no more often in order to protect my yes. What about you? What is it that when you're doing that, you can feel the pleasure of God and say, I was born for this? When the music fades, when the crowd dies down, when affirmations cease, who really are you? That's what I want to get to today. You can never be fully satisfied until you have a personal, ongoing, genuine connection with Jesus Christ. He's the only one that will truly satisfy. And then once you've got that, everything you do from there becomes an overflow of life, an expression of your gifting in the earth, and you get to fulfill your fully fulfilled purpose. This is what I was born for. Whether in the case of Jesus, that's dying so that humanity can advance like never before, or whether that's designing a rocket that goes to the space station that does amazing things, whatever it is, that you can genuinely look someone in the face and say, I am doing what I was born to do. So have a great week, and we will catch up again next week.